You're listening to the Genesis Church Podcast. We're a community built to love God and love all. If you would like more information, visit our website at genesisyork.com. We hope you will enjoy this message.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our study in Galatians. Yesterday, we looked at the first 10 verses. Hey, what do you think about that whole AI thing? Isn't that scary? I mean, when you think about what we can do with people's images and even their voice. But I wanted to use that yesterday to really prove the point that we can create a lot of fake things. As I mentioned, you know, we see it all around us, and yet we have to be so focused on what is true. That's what Paul is talking about, as you know from yesterday. He is talking about the true gospel versus so many other gospels. And as we start our study this evening, we're going to focus in on verses 11 to 24. In these verses, we see Paul speaking about his personal testimony. And as we go through these verses and look at some other scripture, I want to challenge you to think about your personal testimony. Just like Paul was called to be an apostle at one point in church history, today, at this point in church history, you are called. I am called. God has gifted us spiritually. He has given us talent. He has given us passion. And with these things, we are able to serve him. So when I look at this second half of Galatians chapter 1, I want us to see also how God calls us. And what did God do in your spiritual life when you got saved? Were there mentors? Did you find yourself reading the Bible a lot to learn about Jesus? Did you find yourself spending some quiet time with God and then maybe with a group of Christians talking about the Bible? There are so many things that happen in our Christian life. And I say that because when I look back at my life getting saved at 17, there were some men in the church that I was a part of who really took an interest in helping me develop my walk with the Lord, but also serving. I can remember in those days, you don't hear much about it today, but I remember in those days we would go street preaching. And basically we'd gather, we'd go in a pickup truck, we'd go to a street in the summertime, and we would just declare the word of God and the gospel. I learned a lot by going into the old York County prison there on Chestnut Street. They didn't have a lot of organizations like you do today. And so a lot of times preachers would be assigned to come in, and I would go in with some of the guys into that rough jail setting. But I really learned a lot about sharing my testimony and really learned a lot about handling God's word. So for me, after getting saved at 17, God brought people into my life. I remember some kids who I hung out with. You know, we got saved around the same time. And I remember sitting on our porches on Walnut Street, and we would open the Bible, and, you know, we were trying to figure out what God was saying here and what does all that stuff mean in the book of Revelation. But we were in the Word of God, even though as 17-year-olds newly saved, we really didn't understand it. So I say all that by way of testimony, because you can think about your testimony tonight, and you can think about people in your life. You can think about how you got connected to God and how you began to grow. Well, that's what's happening here in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 to 24. So let's dive in. Let's look at a couple things, make some application this evening as we finish out chapter 1. So we find here immediately in verses 11 and 12 that Paul is telling us he is not interested in pleasing people. He's not seeking the favor of others. And in verse 11, it says, "For I would have you know, brothers." He uses that very affectionate term, brothers. So he's talking to Christians. He says there that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel, for I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. So Paul immediately, as he continues to defend the real gospel, he immediately says, this is not something created by humanity or the masses or teachers. This is something that came directly from God. It is a supernatural message. And isn't that true? You know, the Bible tells us we were dead in our sins and our trespasses against God. and yet Jesus saved us. It was a supernatural rebirth. You know, we all have our physical birth. We're all born into a family. But that day that God saves us, we're reborn, a spiritual birth into the family of God. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He wants to make sure that people understand, you know, this gospel's not man-made. You know, he didn't go somewhere and get somebody's ideas and then call it the gospel. It was Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road who spoke to Paul, and Paul's conversion experience began there, and it grew as Paul would meet people, as he would spend time alone, and we'll look at some of those things in a moment. But God was pleased. It says here in verse 12 that this was a revelation of Jesus Christ. God was pleased to reveal something to Paul. Now, this Judaizer, this Jewish Pharisee, this Jewish teacher, Paul was very gifted. Paul was a good student. Paul was going to make a great Pharisee. And yet when we look at Paul's life, we see here that Jesus was revealed to him. God was revealing something else to him. That's what the word revelation means here, or the word to reveal. It is the idea of giving you something that you did not know. It's something that's uncovered. So Paul knew all about Judaism. Paul knew all about the Old Testament. But now there was a revelation. There was an uncovering. Think of something covered over and you pull back a blanket, or you take off the cover and it reveals what's there. That is the idea. The uncovering is that God is going to expose Paul to something that's different than what he learned in his education as a Jewish Pharisee. So Paul's gospel had divine origin in verse 11. He talks about it was not man's gospel, it was God's gospel. And so we have this man. We have this man who is very adamant, as we saw yesterday, a man who is very adamant in his religion. He was determined, but yet God was willing to save him. When we think about his determination, there's a couple things Paul talks about here. He talks about, for example, persecuting the church. Verse 13, "For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, and in Judaism how I persecuted the church of God violently." You know, this was not just calling people names. He was violent toward God's children. And he tried to destroy the church. Those are the words we see in verse 13. So he had an ongoing action. When he says right here in verse 13, as you look in your Bibles, he says there that he persecuted. That is an ongoing action in past time. What Paul is saying, in my former manner of life, I continually did this persecuting. And so we find here that it was an ongoing action. He was determined. You know, it wasn't like, I'll just do this on Mondays. You know, he was determined every day that he was going after Christians. Well, he opposed this assembly. That assembly there in verse 13, the church, is another word for assembly, ecclesia. It's a called out body. In Roman days, when you would go, let's say you were a senator in Rome, and there would be a meeting that's called of all the senators. That was an ecclesia. It was a called out group. You were called to a specific meeting. You were going with a purpose and an agenda. And so God took that word and brought it over into the New Testament to say, you and I are a called out assembly. We're a different kind of assembly. We're a spiritual assembly as the children of God, but we're a called out assembly, and hence we get the word church. He had great zeal in verse 14. He says, I was advancing in Judaism. And he says, beyond many of my own age. So he was an A student. You know, he had a good report card. And he goes on to say here, he was among his people so extremely zealous. There we get those words again. Extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. So again, Paul was a good Jewish leader. He was a good student. He was an upcoming Pharisee. He was going to be someone important to the Jewish religion. And so he tells us all that. He talks about the traditions or the rituals that he would go through. You can go back and read all of the Old Testament, see the demands that God put on people through law and expectations and sacrifices. Paul was good at all that. Nobody could blame Paul about his religious practices. He was good with the traditions. He was good with the law of God. He came out of rigid schooling. You know, he learned all of those things that Pharisees put on the people. Remember how the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians, those leaders, came against Jesus? Because Jesus wasn't putting a burden on people. Jesus was setting people free. And so the crowds were drawing to Jesus, and the religious leaders were upset because the crowds were leaving them. And so here's Paul saying, I know rigidity, and I put things on people as a good Pharisee. So he understood how to control religiously the people. Sacrificial systems, church persecution, we read about it all here in these verses 13 and 14. And then when you look at verse 15, God was now instrumental in Paul's life. He says, but when he who set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace. So Paul gives us a picture of his Pharisaical life, but now something happens in verse 15. And when he, meaning God, stepped into Paul's life, everything changed. Remember in Philippians, think back to the book of Philippians where Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul gave everything up for Jesus. Paul's conversion was real. There wasn't anything fake about it. And so we find here Paul saying, God, in his infinite wisdom, saw me in my mother's womb and brought me to this place. Now, that is a whole lot of theology right there in that verse. Predestination, chosen. I mean, we can put those words out there and talk about them all day. Because I'm sure some of you listening, you know, you have your ideas about how does God call and what is God doing. Some of you out there are really strong on free will. And those terms come up sometimes in our Christian conversation. Can I say something to you? And don't run from those words. You know, I, for example, they don't bug me. I know that an all-knowing God knows everyone who's going to get saved. But I know that an all-loving God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's not that God is hand-picking and choosing. It's just that God knows, because he's God, those people who will respond to him. My responsibility is not to sit around and debate whether or not I go and witness. Jesus is pretty clear about that in Matthew 28. That go ye is an emphatic command. So it's not even me sitting there thinking, okay, well, maybe I don't need to witness to anybody because God knows who's going to get saved. No, we are commissioned to go. Now, I said a whole lot in just those few minutes that is a whole semester in a theological course. So I know I spiked some of your appetite. I know that some of you who are students are really going to dig in to what I just said. And I encourage you to dig into the Bible, dig into God's word and see what God says and piece that together and have conversation. Don't be afraid of those things. It's not going to change God. You know, and it really shouldn't change us in our relationship to each other. And so we find here, Paul says, when I was in my mother's womb, God prepared this for me. It's interesting. I'll give you the reference. We won't turn there. But in Judges, when you read about Samson in chapter 16 and verse 17, in his conversation with Delilah, he talks about his position was known of God before he took that position. In the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah talks about the fact that before he was born, God called him to the preaching ministry. let me turn back here to Luke chapter 1, and let's look at verse 15, because we see another example. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, talking about John the Baptist. So whether it's Samson in the Old Testament and those likes in the Old Testament, like Samson, whether we look at Jeremiah the prophet and it's like prophets that God called, or like John the Baptist in particular, we see in Scripture the foreknowledge of God. We see that God is going to call people. God is going to move people to certain ministry things that they may not even know about until they begin to mature and grow up. Think about how you serve God. You know, God knew that where you were serving God today is where you would be serving God. You didn't know that. I didn't know that. At 17, I was going a different direction for my career. But after I got saved and about 9 months into that, I really felt a calling of God to preach. And so my career path changed. Now, that wasn't a shock to God. God already knew that. So when we read about John the Baptist or Samson or Jeremiah or the like, we need to realize that God has a plan for us. I want to encourage you to be sensitive to God's plan, just like Paul here was sensitive to God's plan when Jesus met him on the Damascus Road. So God was instrumental in Paul's conversion there in Galatians 1:15. God ordained Paul as an apostle. You go over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12, it talks about how God ordained some to be prophets and apostles and evangelists and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, so that they can do the work of the ministry. So there are people, those are just a few spiritual gifts listed there, and spiritual gifts are listed in 1 Corinthians, Romans, and 1 Peter. We see the spiritual gifts that God gives to people to serve him. And the benefit, of course, is growing up this body that we call the church, that called out assembly. So we find here, Paul says, I was set apart. And he was also set apart to preach to the Gentiles. He mentions that in the Word of God. In fact, in Romans chapter 11, and there's a section of verses 11 through 32. In Romans chapter 11, verses 11 to 32, Paul talks about how Gentiles are grafted in to God's plan. So God has a chosen nation called Israel. God still has a chosen nation. But we who are believers are grafted into the plan of God. And that's what Paul talks about there in Romans. So again, here's another assignment for you this week. Take some time and look up Romans chapter 11 and look at those verses 11 through 32. Read back through chapter 10 and get that full picture of what God is saying. Because then when God shows us through the Apostle Paul in Romans how Gentiles and Jews are grafted together, he jumps right into chapter 12 and says, therefore, we should be a living sacrifice. And then Romans 12 through 16 is all about practical Christian living for Jew and Gentile who are born again. So it all comes together there in the book of Romans. But we find here that Paul's heart was to preach to the Gentiles. One of my favorite verses I read a couple weeks ago from Acts, where Barnabas and Paul were called to be a light to the Gentiles. So we see Paul's ministry. And isn't that interesting? I was thinking about that. Isn't that interesting how here's a Jew God calls to preach to Gentiles? Here is a religious person God calls to preach grace. And everything that Paul was, he is now something else and doing the opposite of what he did. And that is just God's work in his life. So he's preaching to the Gentiles. He goes on to say in verse 17, I did not go up to Jerusalem or to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned to Damascus. Here we see that the Apostle Paul is talking about not getting advice from others. That's what the word means there in the scripture when he says, when I went up, I didn't consult with anyone. The idea of consulting here is the idea of getting advice. In other words, Paul's mentor was God in his new birth. Now, yes, he ran into other believers. We read about how later on he has more contact with believers. But Paul was very keen on spending that time with the Lord. Well, that's a good lesson for us today, too. You know, it's great to read a good book, but it's even greater to read the best book, and that's the Bible. So we can find good resources. You know, we can look up things about the Bible. But just stopping and spending time and getting to know God sounds real simple. But I see the Apostle Paul here, 3 years of his life, you know, he spent away. And he was growing and he was maturing in his faith. But he wanted to make the point that even the gospel, which is not from man, he makes the point, even my Christian education, if I can use those words, was not from man. Everything about Paul's transformation was about God. God saving him and God teaching him. In fact, Jesus told you and me in John's gospel that when he leaves, the Holy Spirit is going to come and the Holy Spirit is going to be able to teach us all things. And then 1 John reminds us that we're able to understand the things of God because we have the Spirit of God. So we're able to learn from God, too, even in the 21st century. And we don't need our computer and we don't need a book. We need the Bible. And we need time with God and the Holy Spirit just teaching us. And so those moments can be very precious. Paul knew what that was like. He said the gospel wasn't from man. That's what we saw yesterday. And he's saying my personal walk, what we're seeing tonight, was not from man either. Everything about Paul's conversion was about God. And so he was set apart. He was ordained to this. He didn't consult with anybody. But he does say in verse 18, he spent a little bit of time with Peter. He says, then after 3 years, okay, after 3 years, he makes his way to Jerusalem. Now, what you need to understand, even though Jerusalem is the center of Judaism, it was also the center where the preaching of the gospel began. When you look back in the early chapters of the book of Acts, what were James and Peter and them doing? They were going to the temple, and when they were there, they were preaching Jesus. So that central worship place of Judaism became a central place of preaching Jesus. So now Paul's going to make his way to the center of Christianity. Isn't that interesting? It's not only the center of a Jewish nation, but it's also the center of Christianity. And so we find here he spent some time with Peter. He saw James. James is the stepbrother of Jesus. James is the writer of the book of James. And he spent some time there. He spent some time alone. And then he spent time with Gentiles. As Paul begins to mature in his Christian faith, he's going to have contact, of course, with other believers, just like you and I need to do. You know, we live in an age of isolation. We have learned so well post-COVID how to live by ourselves and become self-sufficient in our little box we call our house. And we lose social contact and we lose the ability to communicate with other people at times unless we're just doing it through social media. And there we're really not in a face-to-face conversation. We're really not engaged in a way that is warm and friendly. Paul knew that after he spent time with God, he needed to be around other believers. And then we see the missionary journeys. We see what Paul is doing. We see what's happening there. And it's so exciting. So God has saved you tonight. God has saved you. God has given you the Holy Spirit in your salvation. He has given you the ability to compare Scripture with Scripture to grow in your faith. And he wants to send you and me. Isn't that exciting? The same plan that God had for the apostles, the same plan that God had for Paul, God has for you and me tonight. I want to encourage you that when you think about your salvation, when you think about people who helped you grow spiritually, when you think about those early days of reading the Bible and, you know, digging in with a newness to find God, how exciting that was. When you think about all those things and remember the early days of your salvation, don't forget them. There were probably a lot of good people who came alongside of you. There were probably some precious moments with God that you never forget. But we continue to grow. We continue to serve. And so here we are tonight, ending the first chapter of Galatians. Thank you for tuning in. And if you have any questions, email me. I would love to have conversation. If there's something you've learned, if there's something you're struggling with, don't quite understand, you know, reach out. Love to talk with you. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in tonight. And between yesterday and tonight, we finished Galatians chapter 1.
Thank you for listening to the Genesis Church podcast. If you are encouraged by this message, please give us a rating and subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. For more information about Genesis Church, visit us at genesisyork.com.